Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Mr. Davis, your Jam That Champion, and I'm joined by not just the championship loser, but team last place representative, Lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Mr. Davis, who had such compliments for Tuesday's intro as, "Please, Ollie, never sing again," or "Ollie is killing this song," and demonetization on the clip that we posted, because, I mean, which I think kind of like, sort of, it's either bad, as the comments were saying, or so close to Freddie Mercury that the YouTube algorithms thought it was actually Queen.
Maybe they thought a murder was happening. It wasn't actually a copyright claim. That's insane. Did it get demonetized because of copyright, or was it because of just, yeah, it thought it was inappropriate?
I think it came up as inappropriate. It came up with a little yellow dollar sign thing saying limited ads.
Hot damn.
Hot damn indeed. But anyway, yes, hello, Oliver Davis, and hello to you, Swaff Nation. How the devil are you, Mr. Davis? Hot off your third place victory on last night's Quizzlemania.
Now I know how Lana feels post-Survivor Series win. I just, my feet haven't touched the ground since. I'm on cloud nine. I'm dreaming right now. I'm dreaming, not Renee Young.
Too cool.
How are you?
That's what it came down to. Like we got a bad luck of the draw, unfortunately, with the Nasty Boys. I feel like if you and Pete had got the Nasty Boys, we too cool, we probably would have won.
Yeah. Well, luck of the dice. But yes, we've proven once and for all, me and Pete are too cool for you.
Well, I was also going to say, in fairness to you and to myself and Denise, we really dropped the ball in that charades round, scoring a whopping nil pois across all the various points of it. It was not a great showing for us in that.
I thought my charades game, I say charades, not charades.
What did I say?
Is that okay? You say charades.
Did I say charades?
It's actually scarades.
I would have thought I'd have said charades. But anyway, yes, I mean, either way is fine. It's the same thing.
I was banging.
You were.
I was so good. I'm not good at much in Quizzlemania, so I'm going to talk about it more.
I would argue that you and Alex McCarthy, you and Louis were probably the best of it. Louis doing the Stone Cold Got Run Down at Survivor Series 99 was excellent. But your Shield debut was fantastic.
I love charades.
The Shield turn, rather. Mm. Yeah. But anyway, do you know what? Let's get into the show itself, because there's a massive update on the iTunes reviews.
Oh! Do
in the outro portion of the show. And here is the main show, AEW. Well, I'd also like to say Happy Turkey Day, everyone. It's Thanksgiving over in America. So if you are one of our American viewers, thanks for watching us on Thanksgiving. It's very, very kind of you.
Oh, no, I was going to say you're probably passing in and out of consciousness right now. But that's because it's 3 o'clock over here.
Yeah,
I don't know when the turkey consuming happens. But if you are already falling asleep because you ate a turkey at 8 a.m. in the morning, you're winning. You're doing Thanksgiving right. You are living the American dream of taking everything to excess, deep frying it, and shoving it right into your eyeballs.
So, who attacked John Moxley? Who is your front runner, Mr. Davis, for who attacked Moxley?
Well, last week, I dismissed everyone's speculation as Lance Archer. I was like, it's quite clearly Lance Archer. Lance Archer made the challenge that he'll be going for the AEW title at Full Gear. And then, like, nothing happened of it. And I thought, okay, AEW probably had to drop that for reasons or whatever. Now he's coming back in. This is how they're working it in. I think whoever is attacking John Moxley is going to factor into the finish next week of the Winter is Coming AEW title match. But then it did, like, obviously he made his return in the main event segment, kind of turned face, but also didn't. We'll get into that later. A bit confusing, but I think it's totally fine. So I was like, okay, well, he's ruled out. I don't think that's a good answer anymore. And then my only other answer was, well, Kenny Omega. But that's too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you showed me this theory that you and you alone came up with this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm the only person to have made this suggestion. I don't think anyone brought this up on last week's show when we were talking about it possibly being Lance Archer.
I think me and you might have brought it up on Wrestle Talk Select.
Mm.
Our Patreon credits, yeah.
Yeah. But there was a video posted by one Kenta, of New Japan fame, of him landing in a plane, which has led some people to speculate that it could be Kenta who is coming for John Moxley's IWGP United States Championship. Obviously, Christopher Jazzcat, obviously it's Raven. yes, people suggest that he's now landed in Florida. He's going to be spending the next week in isolation in a bit of a bubble because he will then be on Dynamite next week in the main event segment with the title, possibly even costing Moxley the belt to allow Kenny Omega to pick up the victory.
So that's huge in so many regards. And we must take great lengths to say this is hugely speculative. This is borderline fantasy booking. I think it could very well be Kenny Omega. It's probably more likely to still be Lance Archer or to be Hangman Page. Page, someone suggested an idea last week where Page still wants to help Omega win to make that sort of relationship they have even more heartbreaking. Like, Page is still trying to get that going again. So this is hugely, hugely speculative because this isn't just a really cool development in the story, like the idea of Kenta, Hideo Itami, if you're not aware, from NXT, making his debut in AEW. It goes far beyond that. Because if that happens, that truly is the moment that Tony Khan teased a couple of weeks ago. It'll potentially create a AEW title change. So Kenny Omega, AEW champion, I think that's what's going to happen, will also get the Forbidden Door opening of AEW and New Japan.
And we've already seen Quizzlemania favorite Horseshoe Tanahashi appear on an episode of Dynamite on the Jericho 30th anniversary episode. So, and Tony Khan, it was after Harold Mage stepped down, wasn't it, from Bushiroad, when he was like, do you know what? Now that Harold Mage is out, a potential working partnership between AEW and New Japan is going to be so much easier. And it just feels like it is coincidental timing that Harold Mage steps down. All of a sudden, Hiroshi Tanahashi appears on the show. Khan's making these comments. Kenny Omega's talking about New Japan that little bit more. And now there's this speculation that it could be Kenta, because John Moxley has said that he is not going to be at Wrestle Kingdom. So who knows what the possibilities could be? Or it could just be Kenta has got a plane somewhere. He lives in Florida and he's just gone home for a bit. It could just be the plane landed somewhere in Japan. You know, it's not for sure. It's not for certain that it is old Kenta.
No, you're totally right. This is all potentially hugely reaching. We'll look back at this in a week's time and go, ha, ha, ha.
We're letting
for ourselves every week. Yeah, Raven's here. He's the latest leader of the Dark Order. They're going to have a completely new gimmick for the next 3 months. Now, people getting planes places at the moment is actually a bit out of the ordinary. If someone got a plane last week...
I said, it does feel a bit, people get planes.
Especially from Japan. Japan is hugely locked down. They've got very stringent lockdown precautions. New Japan are very, very up on their COVID safety measures. One of the reasons John Moxley said he's not going over to Wrestle Kingdom is because that requires a week of self-isolation before the show and a week of... Oh, no, just that way around. Then you can fly back and you can do whatever the hell you like in Florida. But that week of self-isolation would rule him out of at least two shows of Dynamite, which he can't really do as AEW champion. So, next week, should we talk about the Omega-Moxley feud a bit more in general now? Because next week, Kenta turning up and costing Moxley the title to set up their US title match at Wrestle Kingdom and get that going. It gets Moxley out of the picture so he can leave Dynamite for a week. It creates that sort of talent exchange between the two promotions. But also it gives Moxley a reason to lose, because right now I feel like the title match is incoming a bit too quickly.
Yeah, so just last on that, Valab Mabadapudi says Japan's lockdown is more lax at the moment, but reminds us, Kenta does live in Florida, so it could just be he's gone home for a bit. The other thing as well, I wanted to just bring up just before we do get into the Moxley Omega feud. If it felt like I was distracted, I was trying to save a tweet that was not going well. But this was brought up on the Survivor Series stream that we did, where someone pointed out on Twitter that John Moxley, the way that John Moxley was laid out and the way that he was positioned was the same as this, the Hanged Man with a sort of leg cross. I'm guessing it's like a tarot card style thing. And I don't know, like AEW have done this sort of thing in the mall where they drop in these little Easter eggs for you to try and spot. And like, in fact, actually, like Tony Khan in an interview said, like, I think it was yesterday, said that he kind of looks at, you know, AEW in the same way that Marvel do the MCU, where it's all about dropping in these Easter eggs for people to pick up on because it pays off for you later on down the line. So if it is the fact that they have laid him out to look like the Hanged Man, to set up that it was in fact Hangman Page that is the attacker, that's pretty cool.
Could also easily be a swerve, just a little bit of a red herring,
or just a coincidence.
But the idea of Omega and Moxley, the biggest match in Dynamite history is next week. This Winter is Coming special. It's kind of like a Fyter Fest mini pay-per-view level vibe. This is huge. This is absolutely enormous. It's coming almost a year after that terrible angle with the Dark Order. That was the low point of Dynamite, I think. And they've done so well to recover since then and really learn from their mistakes there. So I can really see them doing this to hit the ground running in 2021. But I really think the title should change hands. And I think the Kenta way is the best way to do it. But unfortunately, I wish we had more build to it, because Full Gear happened, then there was nothing on the Dynamite after, then there was the contract signing, which Moxley wasn't a part of, and then this week, which was a great promo, but it wasn't like that killer 3 month long story that we're used to for a big title change worthy match.
Honestly, we actually talked about this a little bit off mic, pulling back the curtain a little bit. I was supposed to have next week off work. I'd booked next week off work ages ago because I was meant to be going away with my my in-laws for a little bit. That's obviously been cancelled because of COVID and all that sort of stuff. But I've always kind of just had that week off saved because then something might come up. And this morning I woke up and I thought to myself, when is that? When is that holiday coming up? Monday? It's coming up Monday. Oh, I've done no prep for it whatsoever. So I'm actually not going to take next week off. But that means that next week is the start of December. So when I was watching Dynamite, I was like, oh, wait, the match is next week. Oh, December's really rolled around quickly. I actually thought we still had a few weeks left of build before we got to the December match. I don't know why. It's just, it's really rolled around quickly. And like you, I think that is because I'm almost not ready for the match yet. Like, I want to see it. I really want to see it. But I don't feel like I am, like, frothing at the mouth to see it, which I probably would be with like a couple of more weeks worth of build, like some really hot angles to make you want to see this. But as it turns out, it's literally next week.
Yeah, it's crazy because technically it has had over a year of build, because we're talking about Full Gear 2019, where this feud really started and has sort of tonal bits that they're still riffing off, with this the idea being this is a straight up wrestling match, no hardcore. Just to run down what happened on this show, remember, this is the go home angle effectively to this huge title match. We had a Omega promo backstage where he said that his dad could beat up John's dad, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And then Moxley sort of challenged Eddie Kingston, had a stare down with Eddie Kingston backstage, interrupted an interview Eddie was doing, which was really cool as well. And Kingston was like, it wasn't me who beat you down, man. You know who beat you down. And then Moxley interrupts the contract signing in a really cool way. Omega's coming out in that awesome entrance he does now, where he's silhouetted in the entrance tunnel. And you see Moxley's silhouette attack him. It was like watching a Wrestle Talk News thumbnail.
It was so good.
Grit and Vacant was destroyed. But then Moxley cuts this amazing promo afterwards, does the bullet gun point at him, but he doesn't think Omega attacked him. He said, I don't know who you paid off to attack me.
Yeah, and we don't even know if it was Omega who paid someone off to attack him. That is Moxley just, you know, possibly speculating as much as we are that it's Kenta or Raven. So yeah, I just loved it. And like, Moxley was so fired up in this promo, so much that at one point he just said, God, I love this S word. Like, he was just like, all of a sudden, like this sort of like childhood glee in him came and was like, oh, I'm promoting a really big title match that's going to be on TV. Oh, I love this. This is great. He just seemed like really sort of amped up for it. I think Moxley did it at a brilliant job in getting this match over. And you know how, like, you've got to, if you're going to beat me, you are going to have to climb a mountain that no one else has been able to. No one has been able to do this for 18 months to be able to beat me. And I loved the fact that Omega's promo wasn't just about how, you know, my dad could beat up your dad. It was also, hey, do you know what? Gentlemen's agreements. Just let's leave the garbage wrestling at home. Hey, you know, come here, prove that you're the best wrestler. Moxie gets in the ring, beats him up, and is like, no. Like, I don't have to.
Takes two tango.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't have to, like, if I beat you, I'm just going to say I'm the best wrestler. I don't care. And I'm just going to beat you in any way that I possibly can. I thought it was a really, really nice way to, you know, he didn't come out and be like, yeah, no, I will prove to you. He's just like, no, this is me, mate. Like, you're fighting John Moxley. You're getting John Moxley.
Yeah. Unapologetic. I thought I was saying that takes two to tango, because I thought Kenny, although he didn't do much, he just got beaten up, really, was amazing here as well. There was a unique style of glee I saw when he was on the floor wearing his little ankle socks with smart shoes and a suit, get like reaching out for the title, beaten down on the floor like this sniveling coward heel, even though he projects himself as something much bigger than that. I was really into that heel dynamic. It's sort of very selfless to make yourself look so weak in that regard for a wrestler.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan,
turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
But let's see what you guys think on the Ultra Chats. Get all your Ultra Chats in at wrestletalk.com/support. We will read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Tyler Woodward, I'm calling it now. Kenta attacked Mox to set up a Bullet Club invasion spearheaded by Kenny. I didn't even think about the Bullet Club angle to this. Holy crap.
Yeah, I mean, like, you want to talk about someone who was just like, who made Bullet Club a big thing. Like, Bullet Club was really popular under Kenny. It was really popular under Devitt, but it took off under Kenny. Like, that was when they started to, like, you know, really invade into the US and stuff. Bullet Club USA, you know, aside from just sort of like Bullet Club Japan, I think that'd be really, really cool.
Wow. Yeah, that is super cool. Tyler continues. Hashtag peen that peen. And how many peens are there, Mr. Peen? I'm the jam peen. The jam peen.
It's not brought up here in the Ultra Chats, but I thought I would ask it to you because it was coming up in this the chat feed, people suggesting that it could go to a 60-minute time limit draw next week.
Yeah, so that's the other bit of speculation. I like it. I like it. I do like that a lot. And then you do the big rematch later on. However, I do think that there's daylight between these two options, and it's a really tough choice for AEW and Tony Khan to ultimately make. But I think AEW are in a position now where you S-word or get off the pot, as they crudely say. And yes, it would be a better story. The emotional engagement would be higher if they do the 60-minute draw and they do a rematch at Revolution in February. But I think you want Kenny as champion right as soon as possible. Moxie's been fantastic. Don't want to have a bad word said against him, but it's lockdown. It's hard to get over. It's a shame that circumstances conspired against him. Get the belt on Kenny. Freshen it up a bit. Keep that promotion moving forward.
And hey, I'm not one to kind of like stir the speculation pot, but Lincoln Jack and me said, like, aren't Tama Tonga and Tongaloa in the US at the moment as well?
Christopher Jazzcat, let's see what his crap take is this week. Everyone is hyped at the idea of Kenta because Forbidden Door, but can we just take a moment to speculate about how much that would be stiff as a horse?
Oh yeah. Oh yes, it would be. I'm in for it.
Michael Dominguez, same guy who attacked John, do the voice. was Jan. Was the same guy who attacked Zahn, Zane, at Money in the Bank.
Exactly, yeah.
I hope Kenny wins. That is, yeah, I forgot about that. Thanksgiving is a joke from a historical point of view.
Do you know what? We actually had a Patreon mailbag question on Friday's show that said that they didn't know that we here in the UK did not celebrate Thanksgiving.
It's a typical American view of things. The World Series. But everybody should like baseball, right?
Remember the argument? We made a joke about the World Series, being like, it's not really the World Series. And then someone's like, hey, Canada are in it. It's like, oh, sorry.
They're pretty much America. North America.
Or as Scott Steiner once put it, it's Mexico North.
Finally for now from Bradley Shepherd, not the reporter, but hey, I may be reading too much into this, which is what I've come to expect from AEW. But do you guys think Kenny is turning on the Bucks soon? His obsession with the belt and being in the best matches, FTR's attitude and the Four Horsemen.
I mean, I don't know. Like, Kenny turning on the Bucks, I think, would be a really, really interesting. Like, that'd be a pretty big moment. Like, that would actually be quite huge. I don't know if I'm feeling that at the moment, though. But maybe, like, that's going to be sort of, like, the big shock thing.
Yeah, I think it's too much. You don't want to overbook stuff right now. But Kenny's, all those FTR teases, the North Carolina teases in his entrance, Kenny's cleared it up himself. It's apparently just a Michael Jordan reference. But in that regard, we might be reading too much into it. Okay, let's do this episode of Dynamite. It's just a sort of overall cast of this episode of Dynamite. There wasn't a single thing I didn't like.
Nope. really enjoyed this episode. Thought this episode was great. Not like, and this is the thing. This is the thing when it comes to, like, you know, how the scoring system for WrestleTalk is, you know, people say it's balked. People say that it doesn't work. Because, yeah, this was an excellent wrestling show. I loved every single segment. Loved everything about it. But it wasn't a 4 out of 4 show. It was a really good, like, this is just a standard episode of Dynamite, which is, it's 2 hours of great telly, mate.
Yeah, it's a setup show. It's a go-home show for next week's mini pay-per-view Winter is Coming TV special. And there is no shame in just putting on a very enjoyable 2-hour episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. 3 out of 4. So it started off with Hangman Page versus John Silver in just a great match.
Great little match, mate. John Silver is, I've parroted Meltzer on this a couple of times, but in a non-COVID world where there would have been fans in there, John Silver would be one of the most overact, particularly like to the AEW audience that would have gone to shows. He'd have been so massively over. He is charismatic out the wazoo, man. He's just this, he's as short as he is wide, or as tall as he is wide. He is just like, he's incredible. But Paige is amazing. And it was weird because it's not like Paige has been gone for ages. But my first note was like, God, it's great to see Hangman back.
Crucially, without a beverage in his hand. Mm-hmm. So he's kicking the booze, hopefully. It was very subtly done, but maybe this is the return of Hangman getting back on the horse, as it were. With John Silver, what I love about him is he is primarily a comedic wrestler right now in AEW, but he uses that in this match as a Trojan horse. So he sort of gets you in with that comedy at the start, comparing his, I don't know how this is possible, his massive arms made Paige's look dinky, Paige's look like my arms.
Is he just doing arm day every day? Is that it now? It's just like, he's just ignoring every other part of his body. He's like, I'm just going to do arm day again.
Hey, it's lockdown for you. But they, like, he used that Trojan horse of comedy to get you in. And then the second half of the match is actually pretty aggressive and hard hitting and going back and forth. Really, really fun. But Hangman Page won with the Buckshot Lariat in the end. And then we got the rest of the Dark Order coming down, led by Evil Uno, to sort of offer Paige a place in the Dark Order, because there are no bigger cults than the elite.
Yeah, I thought that was a really nice line, actually. Like, you know, you wanted to leave and they wouldn't let you leave. Sounds like a cult to me. So that was a really, really, I thought that was very clever. I was really interested by your review, where you felt that this was like another new version of the Dark Order. Whereas this felt to me like it was, it's the same the Dark Order has been. Just like, you know, Brody hasn't been around for a while because he's injured.
Yeah, you're right. It's not like this was a brand new presentation on this day, but this is like, I felt like this is this version of the Dark Order. And, you know, we just had a version of the Dark Order with Brody Lee. We had a different version before that. We had the pre-Marty Skull version before that. We had the all-out version with the Creepers before that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've actually enjoyed the majority of those versions. And the Dark Order, this show, and I love John Silver, this show felt so John Silver Dark Order heavy. And if I just tuned in, I would be going, oh, okay, so Dark Order are the sort of comedy, yappy, swinging up John Silver style act. And that's great. But it jars with what Brody Lee brought to the table.
I wonder if this is all, it's done by design. Like, the idea is going to be that Brody is going to come back and be like, what has happened to my Dark Order in my absence? John Silver has turned us into this sort of comedy, scrappy-do, goofball act. And that's, you know, how you set up the Brody Lee return and the more serious side of the Dark Order, perhaps. But that is just me sort of like possibly grasping at straws, really.
No, I agree. I think that's where they're going with it. I feel like the last couple of months, as fun as it's been, has sort of been serving two masters. And I don't think that's the most effective way. Being hypercritical here, folks. It's still really enjoyable stuff. Then we got the Kenny Omega promo backstage to Marvez, where he talked about... really popped me. Because Mox spoke so sincerely and earnestly the previous week about how his dad was a tough guy and how Moxie was so much like his dad. And Kenny was just like, my dad could beat the S word out of your dad.
It was so good because it was like after his promo had finished. So yeah. Like, he finished his promo and he's like, right, I'm off now, Marvez. Then comes back and be like, oh, actually, no, by the way, while I'm here, my dad could beat up your dad. My dad's Mr. T.
Darby Allin, meanwhile, can beat up a car.
Yeah, well, sets fire to it. Like that, you know, it's a pretty good way to beat up a car, really.
So how can we make Will Hobbs more impressive apart from turning him heel and joining Team Taz last week?
Is it
you call him Powerhouse?
Yeah. He's now just that he is literally big beefy boy. Powerhouse Hobbs. Yeah. He just came out and like he's in orange and black now as well. He's in Taz colours. Do you know AEW's new gimmick that they did this week? I don't know if this is new or if I've just not spotted it before, but in the bottom corner of the screen, they kind of tell you who's in the ring with their colors. So it'll be like, I first noticed it during the SCU Jericho Hager match, but like it had like sort of like white and red thing that said SCU and then whatever, black and gold or whatever it was, Hager and Jericho.
That's really good. I love that.
Yeah. I don't know if this is just the first time I've noticed it, or if they've been actually doing that since day one. This is just the first time they're like, oh, that's a funny little thing. But yeah, he came out and he just killed Lee Johnson, beat up this man and just pinned him very quickly.
I think he should be called Power Hobbs. Power Hobbs. So after he beat him, Lee Johnson, by the way, is also a member of the Nightmare family now.
I missed this until I saw your review, but yeah, you're right. I mean, everyone else is at this point.
Everyone's looking at Dark Order. Someone should look at Cody. He's recruiting people left, right, and center. Has he just got like that little flyer thing at the back? Enjoyed your tryout match? Come train with us. It's all a big feeder system for his wrestling school gimmick.
Or does Cody just like think there's anyone who shakes his hand? It's now part of, like, oh, yeah, they're part of my family now. So someone just feels like, hello, my name is Lee Johnson. Like, he's part of the family.
Yeah. But then Taz sent Power Hobbs to the back and cut this like really, really good promo. I like this segment a lot where Taz effectively said, this is the FTW championship. You're all disrespecting it backstage in management. I demand someone to come out to talk to me. His microphone was cut off twice. And then Cody came out wearing the headset, doing his sort of backstage gorilla position producing stuff. And he said, look, I'll run it up the flagpole. And this made Taz very angry. So, what are you going to future endeavor me? Run it up the flagpole. Flagpole sounds like WWE verbiage. I'm not familiar with that saying.
It must be. I mean, I just don't know from the corporate world. We'll run that one up the flagpole. And I think that was Cody just gave him a blanket corporate speak, which is going to anger Taz more. Then Taz was like, oh, what's creative got nothing for me? You're going to send me an email that says, wish you well in your future endeavors. And then Cody points out that if you're so great, why is your son training with me? And then Taz puts on the microphone. He's like, why'd you say that? We didn't have to make this personal. There's no need to do that. Cody turns around to, be like, hey, folks, everything's going to be fine now. Taz mission. I proper popped for the Taz mission.
Yeah.
It's so rare. I feel like I haven't properly seen a Taz mission since he did it to Jerry Lawler at the second One Night Stand. He's probably done it again since, but that's the one, that for me feels like the last time I properly saw the Taz mission. Probably did it a bunch in TNA that I just don't remember. Is it getting hot in here?
Yeah, I really, really like this. I'm a bit confused. Like, if I zoom out, I'm like, so who's Cody feuding with? Because it feels like just the mid-card. He's feuding with the mid-card and Shaq. But I imagine it will start to solidify into as we approach into next year. So this is good.
Multiple plates. Every character has their own series of multiple plates that they're spinning, which I very much appreciate.
Really appreciate. Then we got the Eddie Kingston bit, kind of the promo on the Lucha Bros, but John Moxley walked in. Great interaction between them. I'm so glad they don't just drop stuff and they still, like you said, keep those plates spinning. Then we got Top Flight. I just assumed this match would have been on Dark, the way AEW usually does stuff. Top Flight made their debut last week after signing, fought the Young Bucks, blew everyone away, and Hybrid 2 attacked them after the match. You're like, okay, that's a good Dark feud. But no, they put it on Dynamite. And this was a really fun match.
Yeah, unsurprisingly so. You know, the Hybrid 2, we don't get to see them a lot on Dynamite. And Jack Evans has, he's gone on record saying that he feels that's partially his fault, because one of the things that he's not very good at as a wrestler is pitching storyline ideas. So when people be like, oh, the Hybrid 2 have just like AEW don't use them, Jack Evans would be like, it's me. Like, I'm like, the pair of us aren't very good at going out to management and being like, here's an idea that we would like to do. So I thought this was really, really great stuff. Love watching Angelico and Jack Evans wrestle. Top Flight have got so much upside to them. 19 and 21, mate. So young. And like, I mean, like someone just said there, oh, this match was like sloppy. I didn't really feel like it was. I thought it was really, really good. I think there's smooth as butter at times, Top Flight. I think I really, really enjoyed this. Had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it's not like I've seen some people go crazy for it. I think sometimes it's easy to confuse stuff that's new with stuff that's good, but they're so promising. I think that's where a lot of people find enjoyment in this, in that Top Flight are a bit rough and ready. They are a bit sort of boxy when they walk around the ring. But man, they're just so innovative. And that those sorts of like the way they move in sequence, where one will just sort of take a knee and the other one will do a move off them or to someone, really, really dynamic stuff. But yeah, I think that the main source of enjoyment here is the future. Like you look at this and you're like, oh, I cannot wait to watch these guys grow. And in 5 years' time, these are going to be one of the best teams in the world. Which really played into the finish, because I love the fact that they lost and they tapped out, arguably one of the most humiliating ways to be defeated. And I said it in my review, in WWE, they beat people over and over again. I mean, you get very frustrated by it. But in New Japan, they also beat new people over and over again, routinely. It's part of the system. But the difference is WWE do it to people they debut in like the main event segment and they've got all that momentum and then they beat them for like 2 months or flatten them out. New Japan do it the opposite way. They build from the ground up. You beat the young lions over and over again. So the audience becomes invested in their journey and their growth to finally start getting those wins. So Top Flight have had two really impressive showings. They've lost both times. You keep beating them. And when they eventually win one, it's gonna really mean something.
Yeah, and it's not a losing streak. It's not like someone, you know, a team is just losing again and again and again. It's like, oh, when will they ever pick up that victory? It's just like, now, one day this team is going to, they're going to find that thing, because they keep putting everyone on commentary. The inexperienced JR in particular, salty JR, as much as, you know, we sort of rag on JR sometimes. He can pull out little gems like this. He was talking about in this match is they can't do covers. It's just like every time you say it, the coverage, like that's, you're not going to get wins locking in covers that way, putting over their inexperience. So yeah, when they lose to TH2, you're like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, they're the inexperienced team, and you build them up. And I got, yeah, when you mentioned that in your review, I got flashbacks to Show and Yo. Mm-hmm. Like when Show and Yo.
Exactly. Yeah. Jay White, yeah. For me, I remember watching him getting beaten and beaten and beaten.
Exactly. Yeah. But like Show and Yo now are one of like the most popular acts that New Japan have got. And so it totally works. And I can see them doing this style of booking with Top Flight. And it's a style of booking that will really, really work for them.
Mm-hmm. After that, we get Vicky Guerrero and Nyla Rose sending a message to Brandy. So it looks like they're going to be heading up the lady part of the Shaq feud, potentially, with Jade Cargill.
Yeah, we saw them last week kind of sort of getting involved in this Brandy thing. Do you know what the most shocking thing about this was to me? This was a promo for, you know, hyping up a women's feud that was not grouped together with all the other women's stuff.
It's a tiny change, but it completely transforms the skeleton of the show.
Right.
Yeah, much, much more holistic. Liked it a lot. The segment itself, I didn't, you know, it didn't do anything for me, but the scheduling. FTR then cut this really good promo. Really, really liked it. Looked like they're in a camper van with Tully Blanchard. And they said how the Full Gear was the worst night of their lives when they lost those belts. And they admitted for 3 seconds the Bucks were better than them. And I
just 3 seconds.
What a great way to make me want to see a rematch. I thought there was an excellent promo.
Yeah. And Tully Blanchard being like, I mean, those tag titles belong to you. Like, we're going to be the champions again. I thought it was really, really great to kind of like, you know, to keep that momentum for FTR going. Really, really nice stuff. And also just a simple promo, putting over the teams, putting over both teams. Good stuff.
Yeah. No tomfoolery of being sore losers or anything like that. It was like, not even on that night, in those 3 seconds, you were better than us, but not the rest of the time.
The other thing we didn't mention with that Top Flight match as well is that afterwards, TH2 continues to beat down Top Flight afterwards. And the Bucks came out to make the save. And they did mention on commentary that, like, you know, perhaps the Top Flight have found their mentors in the Young Bucks. So, you know, go on.
I thought they were part of the Nightmare family.
What, the Young Bucks and the Top Flight? Maybe it's a subsection of the Nightmare family.
It's going to be a crowded Thanksgiving today, isn't it, for the Nightmare family? Going to have to hire a convention hall. So after that, we got the Inner Circle of Jake Hager and Chris Jericho versus SCU of Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels. Oh my God, how have Daniels and Jericho never wrestled each other?
That was my first thought. I was like, it is amazing that this is the first match between these two. But like, you think about it, it's like, well, yeah, I guess it makes sense, because Jericho left WCW in 99. Daniels came into WCW in late 99 into early 2000. So the paths wouldn't have crossed there. Then Daniels has been on the indies and Jericho's been in WWE ever since. So yeah, it kind of makes sense. But at the same time, I was like, how is this the first time that these two have ever shared the ring together? But I actually got a bit giddy about it. You're like, oh, Chris Jericho versus Christopher Daniels. Yeah, I'll have some of that.
Yeah, you look at the rest of the wrestling on this show. And I get that, you know, there's an argument to say this was the weakest match. Not to say it's bad. It was still hugely enjoyable. But it's just a testament to the strength of everyone else on the... Not everyone else on the card, but, you know, the style of exciting TV wrestling they had. But this holds a special place in my heart. Because I love Christopher Daniels. Like, I love him so much. Jericho, you know, obviously is fantastic. Jake Hager's one of the best of all time. But Kazarian, man. Kazarian. Kaz. He blows me away. He blows me away. And even though at the start of this match, when they locked up and started it off, I was like, I want to see Daniels Jericho in a singles match. But I don't know if Daniels is injured or something at the moment, or he's just taking it easy because he does have that sort of talent management role backstage, I believe. But he doesn't wrestle that much these days. And when he does, people jump on him for botching too much. Kaz, however, is freaking seamless. And by the end of this match, I was like, oh, I want to see Kaz versus Jericho. And then they announced it in a segment later on.
Yeah, it was funny. I was actually listening to a podcast last week that was reviewing a show from 2003 that had Frankie Kazarian on that show 17 years ago. And even then, like, you know, people were saying, like, man, wow, Frankie Kazarian, he's the future of wrestling. And there'll be people now that be like, ah, yeah, well, 17 years, Frankie, he's slowing down now. He's not quite what he was. And it's like, and then you watch him wrestle on time, you're like, Frankie Kazarian could easily be in the main event scene of AEW and would not feel out of place because he is so, so good. Has not missed a beat at all.
Mm. Yeah. I love him. That match against Hangman Page on TV last month. It's my match of the month in WrestleTalk magazine from TV. Absolutely loved it. But this match, you know, it was a very decent tag match. It was the weakest match on the show. But it ended. It was so cool to see all of the Inner Circle out there with Wardlow and MJF in addition. MJF clocks Daniels?
Yeah, it was Daniels.
With the diamond ring. And then Judas Effect. Oh, no way you're kicking out of those two bad boys. And Hager got the pin.
Yeah, and I very much enjoyed their promo afterwards because, like, so Inner Circle continued to be down SCU after the match. Scorpio Sky runs down to make the save. And then Jericho and MJF are cutting this promo where Jericho says, look, we won that match fair and square.
And MJF is like, who cheap shot someone? So good. And all the time in the background of that match, sorry, that promo, Wardlow and Hager are just staring at each other. I don't know whether they're going to fight or F word. But going by how, you know, the dance numbers, the little Las Vegas skit, I won't be surprised if they just start snogging.
Yeah, I mean, it could be both. just snogging and punching each other at the same time.
Well, Hager does like going for guys' dicks in the MMA fights. So many low blows. I said I didn't like anything. I didn't not enjoy anything on this show. And this was fine. But it's just, it's a bit like this plate is spinning too much now, which is Kip Sabian and Miro launching their video game streaming thing, channel, Twitch. It's probably a shot at WWE. And Cassidy, Orange Cassidy, turns off their machine or their console. And I sound like such an old man because I didn't write down what the actual console was. I wrote down Mega Drive as a joke.
I think it was the Xbox, the new Xbox One. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's called, but it's that one. I think it's that one. It looks like the thing from 2001.
the Xbox monolith. And they had a brawl with best friends around some trailers.
My favorite bit about this was Miro grabbing the cameraman and just screaming at into the lens, move out of the way! That made me laugh.
Yeah, I'm ready for this to do something now.
Yeah,
and for the bachelor's party to happen.
And I thought to myself, oh, they'll be in the Battle Royal next week. But they're not. Cassidy's in the Battle Royal, but I don't think best friends are in it.
Maybe Miro's injured. There's got to be a reason all of this has sort of been derailed. I don't know. Then we got the Omega Mox contract signing, the Inner Circle promo, and then we got this continuation of what they started last week, and that is actually giving the women's matches and segments something, some substance, because we've had matches. There's always been a women's match on Dynamite since lockdown began, but there's been nothing behind it. It's just been like, here are two women, they are going to fight. Sheeta's in the crowd. And this time they got video packages, they got an angle afterwards, and the match itself I quite enjoyed.
Dude, bearing in mind that Anna Jay pointed this out in the video package, the match that she had with Hikaru Shida this year, which honestly feels like a lifetime ago at this point, but she had a match with her this year, and that was her seventh ever match. It was like, you know, she's really early in her career. So she's still like, you know, sub 20, 30 matches or whatever, because, you know, she's having stuff on Dark, but it's not like you're doing house show loops and things like that. So she pulled out a really, really great match with Hikaru Shida. I really enjoyed this. And I think that Anna Jay is a lot of upside to her. Like a lot of the women in AEW's women's division, a lot of them are, you know, they're in their formative years, but there's so much upside to them. You're like, oh man, yeah, well, I can see, again, kind of like Top Flight, 5 years' time, they're going to be really, really good and they'll be at the top of this division.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Top Flight comparison's really, really valid there. So the Dark Order on the stage, John Silver was directing stuff. Who is in control of this faction? Evil Uno, who knows? And Ty Conti gets a chair, like Anna Jay's, give me the chair. Ty Conti gets the chair out. And then Ty Conti decides to go, no, actually, I'm not going to give you the chair. I just thought it was, that didn't work for me. But then the Dark Order gave Anna Jay a kendo stick. They used that on Shida's knee. But Shida rallied through it and she still won. So I thought this was, it was really exciting stuff near the end. And then, there was the Abaddon.
Oh, but back to this again. This is what happens when she hasn't been on TV for ages. I know she was injured, but we've all forgotten how to say the name now.
Oh, she scares the bejeebus out of me. I don't like looking at her.
did you see her cosplaying as Chucky over Halloween? Chucky's scary enough, but crikey. I didn't mind the Anna Jay chair spot, to be honest with you, because I felt like it was all a big ploy. Like, she knew that Ty Conti wouldn't give her the chair, so it was a way to distract the referee so that she could get the kendo stick off of whichever member of the Dark Order it was. I thought it totally worked. Shida powering through to get the win. Thought it did Anna Jay a heck of a lot of good. And then, she came out. She started celebrating in the ring. Abaddon comes out, just crawling on Anne's knees. Blood is pouring out of her mouth because she is literally the living dead girl. She grabs the title. Shida craps her pants, completely falls down. Not in that Seth Rollins kind of way. She was genuinely quite scared. And then she grabs the title, licks it, leaves this bloody print down this. And it was, as you said in your review, it was her way of going I would like a title shot, please.
Yeah, do you think that's what she's saying in her head? And she's so misunderstood the way she articulates these questions. We got a big money Matt Hardy promo ahead of next week's Diamond Battle Royal. So it's such a loaded show next week. Lots of people involved in that. Ricky,
is he not real?
I don't know.
In this promo, he said, I overcame the odds against Sammy Guevara, so you can overcome the odds in your pedestrian lives. That doesn't exactly sound like the words of a baby face. His new thing is, what would Matt Hardy do?
Yeah. But everyone loves Matt Hardy. Broken Matt Hardy wasn't exactly a blue-eyed, white-meat baby face either, was he? Ricky Starks cuts a really good promo, I thought. That Team Taz looked awesome with Cage and Hobbs behind him.
Do we know if Hook's now an official member of them?
He wasn't in this bit.
No, well, that's because he left. They said that him and Taz left earlier in the day, which is why the three of them are there.
I hope not, just because it kind of undermines Hobbs joining.
As a four-man faction.
It's not the Nightmare Family.
because we didn't mention them, but Hook, Taz's kid, helped Taz, grab the FTW title and walk to the back alongside. So he's already left the Nightmare Family, probably the most shocking defection of 2020.
And the main event was just a cracking. So it was so quick, some of the stuff in this match. They just started in the final third of the match and stayed there, and then found a final third of that final third to level up in. And it was Pac and Phoenix as a tag team taking on the Butcher and the Blade.
Yeah, so, so great. I love Butcher and Blade. Yeah. I love particularly Butcher because everyone else in this ring, Pac's a big flippy dude. Phoenix is all the flips. Blade's no slouch. Blade, he can bust out some things. And then you got the Butcher, whose special move is clobbering. And he just goes in. So Pac and Phoenix are trying to do this flippy stuff right now. He's just like, no. It's I'm just going to punch you now and you're going to fall down. I thought this main event was so much fun. I had an absolute ball with it. It was great.
And Kingston's on commentary. It's great to see it's great to see this being a main event storyline and it doesn't feel out of place.
Nope.
That there's no titles in the mix here. It's just all blood feuding and it's really, really intriguing. And Eddie Kingston is still in the main event despite losing at Full Gear. I'm so happy about that. But he costs Phoenix and Pac the match by pushing Phoenix off of the top rope. And they're beating down Pac and Phoenix when Lance Archer and Jake the Snake come down. And Lance clears house, obviously. Everybody dies. And yeah, Lance is like celebrating their standing with the baby faces.
But he's not. He didn't come down to save the baby faces. He came down because he's got a problem with Kingston and has had a problem with Kingston since All Out, because you had the All Out Battle Royal, then you had the anniversary show. And so basically the same story is like, you know, Lance Archer doesn't forget and he has still got his problems with Kingston. So Kingston is now feuding with Death Triangle, but he's also feuding with Lance Archer at the same time. And it's just that we said it earlier, is it's multiple characters themselves have their own multiple plates spinning. AEW is a promotion of multiple plates spinning. And within those plates spinnings, there are little smaller plates spinning on top of them. And those are the wrestlers. So yeah, I thought it was really cool. And it was just, you know, it's something a bit different. I honestly didn't see it coming. So and at the same time, I'm like, oh man, Kingston versus Archer. Yeah, I'd actually be kind of into that. I think that'd be a lot of fun. While at the same time, I still really want to see Pac versus Kingston.
Yeah, just so much stuff going on right now in AEW, and it's going into, it just feels like every week this momentum's building and building and building. I'm like, wow, how can they top this? And I'm like, bloody hell, it's the Winter Is Coming special next week.
I know, it's next week, yeah.
I freaking love this promotion. I love them so much. We're all so privileged to have them in existence. Yeah. I was listening to the Young Bucks interview.
So many plates spinning.
I was listening to the Young Bucks interview on the Wrestling Observer, because of course they've got the book out, and they spoke about just the formation of AEW and how many stars had to align and chances had to be pulled off for this wild experiment to happen. And, you know, like, if there was no AEW right now, wrestling would be in a very bad way. Mm-hmm. A very, very bad way. So and thank like- you. Just as like a, if this is the day of giving thanks, thank you, AEW.
Yeah, that's not to say the Raw and SmackDown are bad, because I think SmackDown's been very, very good these last few months. And Raw feels like it's time to pick up a little bit, maybe, you know. So, hey, it was a decent show on Monday. But yeah, like it is, it's so reassuring that every single Thursday I get to wake up and know that I'm going to get 2 hours of quality wrestling entertainment. And I love that. Absolutely love that.
Thank you also to our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon, $25 a month or more, and you get your own wrestling nickname and a cheap pop on this very show. Give me the cheap pops in the comments. For Peter Fiber Brontus. Woo!
There he is. Please, sir, can I have some more Domhall Beggs even?
Beggs. I love the smell of coffee in the morning. Napalm espresso.
That's pretty rad. Chris Hellfire Brimstone.
Thank you. Probably better than Kyle Philip O'Reilly.
Big claim. Living in the past. Kieran Pryor. Hey.
Thank you. The humble egoist, Kieran Pryor.
Or egotist.
Oh, sorry.
And it's also, it's Danny Average. You said Kieran Pryor again.
The humble egotist, Danny Average.
Yeah, I have another one. Oh, no, now I've got... Come on, Denise, what is it? Viernes el décimo tercero. Jason Gutierrez.
Woo.
All right, it's all.
It's our boy, our pay-per-view reactions, green screen, fake backgrounding man, Xandermania, running wild.
There he is. Blompier's number one fan, Tom Delves.
Thank you, Tom. E-A-N-A-N-A-S, Hannah Bananas.
Oh, okay. I would have gone differently. I'd have gone Gwen Stefani. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Ah. That's what I was trying to do.
His S is bananas. Mm. But you did Carmella's Fabulous.
Ba-ba-bum, bum, bum.
Robocop.
Yeah. And finally, Colin McLeaner from Finn Balor. Go over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page, everybody. You won't just get a cheap pop shout-out. You've also got loads of extra content, including mine and Luke's classic pay-per-view reviews. You can vote on loads of stuff that we do, and also the WrestleTalk After Dark show, which is coming for you next week, where we get drunk.
Mm-hmm. Indeed we do. Good times. I'm really looking forward to After Dark this week. Do you think you're going to be on After Dark this time?
I have blocked out time in my busy schedule for it.
What? We haven't had you on Dark in ages.
Oh, it's because you bored me to tears with that Sonic Choose Your Own Adventure bit. Right, let's get into these ultra chats. Christopher Jazzcat. Crap take time. Gotta have one every AEW stream from Jazzcat. I think Mox's promos are excellent, but I don't think he has the absolute best matches out of everyone in AEW, and therefore, was he really the best choice for champion? It's about time they put the belt on someone who has had 7-star matches.
Well, it's different strokes for different folks. I can't think of a... there hasn't been an AEW title match with Jon Moxley where I've gone like, well, that was bad. The only one I could think of was probably the Hager empty arena match, and that was... felt like it was more of a victim of circumstance than anything. Also, it's Moxie versus Jake Hager. But all of his pay-per-view matches, I think, have in some cases over-delivered. I think he's been a really, really great champion.
Yeah, I think he really has put to rest the idea that Moxley is all promo and no match. I think that the storytelling in these matches has been amazing. I don't think he's a bad wrestler at all. I think he's just not to some people's tastes. Also, the idea of your top champion being the best in-ring wrestler from a sort of artistic standpoint is a relatively new phenomenon. It typically works best when they're just great at promos, they look good, they're cool, and they're over with the audience. Chris Jericho was the last AEW champion. Yeah. He is not the best wrestler in that company.
No, so sometimes it's just being about the biggest draw. I think Moxley at that point when he won the title was the biggest draw.
Mr. Burt Wayne, the man who attacked Moxley is Marty Scurll, Gorilla Press exclusive. I don't think AEW would do that right now, given all the sort of controversy around that. Christopher Jazzcat again. I get that it will be divisive, but I really enjoyed the Taz segment. I was a huge Taz fan back in ECW days. I popped for Taz doing the Kata Hajime. Nostalgia Kata ain't what it used to be. Kata Hajime.
Kata Hajime.
We're saying the same thing.
Abaddon. I popped totally for the Taz mission. Thought it was great.
Magnus, interested to see where this Page Dark Order story is going. Will he join them until he breaks free and restarts the storyline with Omega? The F Hangman scene on BTE after Full Gear is still as heartbreaking as it was wonderful storytelling. It really freaking is. I think I wouldn't mind him joining them for a bit, but not joining them like Colt Cabana joining them. Just someone to hang out with. Justin Hraz, it's FTR. The cleaner girls are wearing 80s workout clothes. And last week, Mox's neck was injured like it would be from a mind breaker.
I don't know. I think I've moved past the FTR thing now. I think I've moved on from that. I don't know if it is them anymore.
Same. Suave Titan, loving about 95% of AEW storylines, the other 5% being Miro Kip. Yeah, it's just not doing anything. Yeah,
it's not working for me.
Oh, we've got one from last week. Sorry we missed this one, Will Landrum. Hey, quick booking. Paige joins Dark Order. Bucks and Cody try to save him. They end up needing Omega at the last second when only Omega can save Paige. He refuses, then walks away, spin out a feud with the Elite, and Uno redeems Paige, then Paige versus Omega.
Paige versus Omega for me is the end goal of all of this for the title. So, yeah, possibly even at All Out 3 next year.
I really like that scenario. I think Paige's redemption story has to be one done alone, though, not with the Dark Order.
Yeah, and maybe that's like him like not joining the Dark Order is sort of the first step of that. I was like, I don't need anyone around me to do this on my own. And I said All Out 3, but I could really dig it being at Full Gear next year, like 1 year on from the closest that Paige has been to the title, you know, since losing it at All Out 1. So I think that'd be a really nice storytelling. Wrestling related, Stephen Guzman says, thanks to WrestleTalk, I've rediscovered my love of wrestling and realized something. I think I love AEW so much because it feels like in reality, AEW is artificial and AEW feels real. Like even the commentary feels artificial in AEW. Am I being crazy? No, you are not. You're going to have to fill for time for a second. My battery is about to run out. So I need to put this light on so I can turn this light off. I'll be back in a moment.
Yeah, I agree with you, Stephen. I think WWE does stuff right, I love it because that's what I grew up with. I still hold a lot of deep-seated love for that promotion. But unfortunately, it's sort of an echo chamber in one man's mind right now. And they profess that themselves. They're not about reality. They're sports entertainment. Mr. Burt Wayne, happy Thanksgiving from the Gorilla Press family to yours. After successfully sponsoring Masha Slamovich's hair for Japan's Marvelous Assemble program, we are sponsoring her 2021 ring gear being handcrafted by Haoming. He has risen, he is Global Thunderarm, and many Japan shows have been cancelled for several weeks due to a COVID situation. That's another Gorilla Press exclusive.
Last night, this was sent to the wrong link, apparently. This is from Quizlemania. Rooting for Team Zanook from Truckee, California. I'm watching this while also writing a critical analysis of the Cutler versus Avalon feud to submit to the literary magazines because I think it's the best feud. And it was on Free on Dark. Perfect storytelling. Yeah, I mean, I don't watch Dark because I don't have a spare 4 hours every single week. And that show feels like it's never ending. Saw a joke the other week that said Dark is going to get so long that it's basically just going to be the pre-show for Dynamite. Like, you just watch Dark, it ends, and then Dynamite starts. But yeah, I saw nothing but great stuff for it. Reese Johnson, he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows how to take your championship. So retire for goodness sake. Fakeador is coming to town. The Ollie Authority has to burn. Everything will be Fakeador.
No. Fakeador. There's no Fakeador. It's just Laurie.
Mr. Hanktastic, giving this Streamlabs thing a look. Thanks for all the great pods. Yeah, we haven't got the Streamlabs set up today because our producer his internet wasn't strong enough for it. So we're just on classic old StreamYard today. Charles Berg, hey there, lads. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you got a kick out of my toilet humor yesterday. I always get a good laugh watching you two sweet boys and the extended WrestleTalk crew. The mods are excellent people. I also think the Young Bucks did it.
Ooh, potentially. I don't know, though. Like, they seem separate to this whole thing now.
Carol Wands, congrats, Ollie. Great job on Quizlemania. Made me smile during your charade. You were fantastic. Team Danuk were the cutest couple, hands down. Andy's ultrasound won the night. Wasn't expecting that. Love you all. Happy Thanksgiving, Swap Nation. Get rowdy. Yes, please. Just so we're... Andy's girlfriend is not pregnant. He sent an ultrasound, his mum's ultrasound with Andy. I've said that wrong. When Andy's mum was pregnant with Andy, she has an ultrasound done. Andy sent that picture to Adam for the all grown up gag on Quizlemania. Adam just didn't get that and was just like, just thought that Andy was telling him that he was expecting now.
Because it was without context. It was so funny when they told us that story.
T Keys, I wonder if it's Tim Keys. Hello, early Thanksgiving morning with the boys. Your content has been a bright spot for my year. Hugs and hearts from Seattle. Jam that jam. Yes, please.
Thank you,
my friend. Brett J. Rasman says, I just wanted to say that I'm thankful for you guys at Rest Talk. Been watching you for years, and I love that you still, and I still love everything that you guys do. Love AEW. Jam that jam. Laurie's coming for you, Ollie. Everything will be Fakeador.
No, it won't. That's an old storyline.
Jobber JJ says, it's not storylines. We don't have storylines here. It's just real life. Jobber JJ, happy Thanksgiving to my American friends and everyone who celebrates the holiday. I'm thankful for WrestleTalk's great content and all the SWAF Nation friends I have made. Jam that jam with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 heart emojis. Very, very
kind. Thank you, Jobber JJ. I can't wait to do a meetup.
I know, right? Can't wait. Stu, thank you for your donation and no message. And lastly, Jazzcast, to follow on from his earlier point. Not saying Mox is a bad wrestler. I guess one of the reasons I fell in love with New Japan is because Okada was legitimately the best and could bring out the best in everyone he worked with. I can understand the draw arguments, though.
I love Jazzcast's Ultra Chats because he has to pay us so much more money to qualify his original statement. We'll be right back.
I'd like to extend out a big thank you to everyone that got in touch. Lots of people got in touch with me. Email, Twitter. Someone even messaged me on Discord to let me know that I was being an idiot. Because if you go to Apple's official website, like Apple's page for our podcast, there have been no reviews there since August. However, if you go to the app on like on my Mac and load it up, there's loads of reviews.
What?
So I know, right? But like the website hasn't been updated for whatever reviews.
Are they good?
Well, we've got this one. Our first one here actually comes back in October. Embarrassingly biased in more and many ways. Let's sum it up.
Take out the bad ones.
I brown-nosed my boss. My boss consistently asks listeners for money. We slate listeners for their opinions, unless, of course, they pay us on YouTube. As a long-time listener, I just couldn't keep up. This for the wrestling news, but it's become a strange parody of what it once was. They slate WWE, quite rightly so in many cases, but it's unbelievable how much they kiss the backside of AEW.
Wow. People really think we're bad for liking AEW.
But... two-star review, not a one-star review. So, you know. This person also left one in June that called us the only wrestling podcast and the best. A four-star review there, which I found.
Oh, come on, that's worse.
But we've also had Kieran said great podcast, highly recommend. Five. Pog just said Pog. That was also a five-star review. And then we get into the ones when we actually started to ask for them. So, L Miz said, "I just want to win the prize with a little hang 10.
What is
hand
it?
Emoji thing. Five stars there. BSOFU, best podcast ever. Nothing makes me happier than listening to Luke and Ollie. Keep up the amazing work. Lord Rev says, a great listen. The YouTube videos are the best news videos, and the rambles are a brilliant bonus. Been a go-to podcast multiple times a week now since I've been listening. Since day one is H. Get rowdy. Wrestling podcast fan just says, screw the Ollie Authority. Five stars. Jay Adams says, great podcast with great hosts all around. Listen to every show. Shame about the NXT show being scrapped, but I understand why. Keep up the great work. Get rowdy. Jam that jam, you jam bronies.
Maybe no, thank you.
Rai Rai G, love listening to the podcast on my walks to college. Genuinely brighten my day. Yes, please, for life. I'm the second best Luke, says the best men reviewing some great wrestling. Support Rest Talk. Get rowdy. Yes, please. Chicken Legs 2122. Love all the podcasts and shows you do. Keeps me updated, entertained, and gets me through lockdown. Hashtag get rowdy. Hashtag Luke for Jamp. Hashtag yes, please.
Keep going, I love baby. I love how these have dated. Now I'm Jamp.
That was left on Tuesday because what? They want me to be champion.
Oh, yeah. You got to wait until, I don't know, when I book the rest of the WrestleMania card.
Booking? We don't do booking.
Booking? Huh?
Adam Elliott, the Wrestle Podcast, one of the best podcasts in the game. A mixture of presenters from Ollie and Luke's best friend chemistry shining through, providing the many laughs to Luke and Denise's Friday show, which makes you go into the weekend feeling happy. And honestly say that if you are into wrestling podcasts, definitely check this one out. Would be wrong not to mention Andy's amazing dry humor every single Saturday.
Oh, I hate that he's over. What's, how many of these are there?
There's another six to go, but I'll save some of those for next week.
Just in case people don't get, like, it was just a 1 week splurge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. We're going to save some of these. Mm. But yeah, but please do keep getting them in. There will be a prize. Oof. We will hand out a prize.
Where is the prize?
We will work out a prize. I suggested a prize. Then Ollie Davis in a meeting said, that's a stupid prize. We won't do that prize. Then in a separate meeting, suggested the same prize that I did. I was like, what a brilliant idea.
What was it? You've got to tell me when I do these things. No one talks up when I make mistakes.
I told you in the meeting that I'd already suggested that. And you told me no.
What was it?
It was giving her out a free t-shirt.
Ah, that's my idea. That was a great idea. I think what it was is when you suggested it, it was a bad idea. But by the time I'd suggested it, I liked it more.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
Oh, yeah. Before we get out of here as well. So I slept through one of my alarms this morning because I was so, so tired after last night's Quizlemania. Brilliant performance by all round, I would say.
Thank you.
Listen to the podcast version.
Not you.
It was a really, really fun show. I turned off my alarm this morning. My beautiful wife, my brilliant wife, came over, put a lovely little arm over me. And I was like, oh, okay. I'll just have 5 more minutes then. Hour and 20 minutes later, I woke up. But I'd spent that entire hour and 20 minutes sleeping on my arm. So I woke up with the deadest arm I've ever had in my life. It honestly took about 20 minutes for it to like just not be dead anymore. Putting on my trousers was really difficult.
I hope you did what my teenage self would have done, and that is rush straight to the bathroom and enjoyed myself like it was with someone else. That's a gift. It's a gift, Luke.
It's the gift that keeps on coming. The other thing I wanted to tell you about was yesterday. I don't know if you came onto the Quizlemania call for this. Yesterday, I did something I've not done all year. I took an actual day off yesterday.
Well, not strictly, because then you did do Quizlemania in the evening.
There is that. But I didn't go on my lap. And I did update the end of year awards tracker that we've currently got at the moment. I'll talk more about that next week. But I spent the rest of the day, didn't go to my laptop, wasn't answering emails, did occasionally answer some of your Discord questions that you had. But I just spent the whole day reading a book. Oh. And it was quite lovely, really. It was quite calming.
What was the book?
I was reading Ready Player 2.
Ah, because that came out on Tuesday.
It did indeed. I pre-ordered my copy of it because I remember a time when Ready Player 1 was just this little book that people read and thought was a fun little adventure, albeit with a quite terrible lead. And then it became the very cool thing to hate that book and to mock it.
Yeah, Luke liked it before it wasn't cool, everybody. So I guess we should end this podcast. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. A big thank you to everyone who got in touch. Actually, we've had loads.
But we've run out of time for you.
Run out of time because we wanted to plug the Apple podcast things. But thanks to you so much. I'll just say some names of people that got in touch. Matt Sweeney, who just literally said, feeling fine. Mary got in touch. Zach got in touch. Who else? Seth got in touch. Will got in touch. That's some advertising. There's a lad who wants to work for us. Ethan, thank you all so much. We will go through all of those next week. Bumper stuff to go through next week, including our end of year tracker. Go on.
Who's winning lockdown according to all those emails?
Let's see. I mean, Mary's from down under.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe. I don't know. We'll find out next
week. All right, I'm still in the lead then. I'm winning lockdown right now. I'm doing really well in Marvel Alliance 3.
That game came out like 15 years ago, didn't it?
No, it came out 2 years ago.
Sorry, I'm thinking of Marvel Alliance 2, which did come out 15 years ago. And how are you finding it?
Repetitive, but I get to play with all the Marvel characters. It does make me way more happy than it should do for the quality of game it is.
That is all we've got time for this edition of the show. Thank you all so much for getting in touch. Keep getting your emails in. Keep getting your iTunes or Apple Podcast reviews in. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.